What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For more details, go to the website sunshinefm.ws.
98.5 Sunshine FM. Felicity Hill is the coordinator of the new campaign of the International Physicians for the Prevention of Nuclear War, the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons, or ICAN. ICAN is being launched in 60 countries around the world this month, including Australia. The goal of the campaign is a nuclear weapons convention, a treaty to progressively eliminate nuclear weapons, similar to the treaties that have successfully banned landmines and chemical weapons. Felicity joins me now. Welcome to 98.5 Sunshine FM.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Many would see the target of eliminating nuclear weapons as admirable, but pretty much unattainable. How do you mobilise enough people to start making a real difference?
Well, firstly, looking at some of the historical precedents that have been set, one of which you've mentioned, the landmines campaign. Several years ago, that seemed as implausible as the abolition of nuclear weapons might seem today. Also, recently we've celebrated the 200th anniversary of the end of the transatlantic slave trade, and activists of that abolition movement faced similar, you can't ever do it, it's too integrated into the economy, it's too integrated into our way of life kinds of arguments. That didn't make that practice any less abhorrent and violent. And nuclear weapons are similarly abhorrent, expensive, and undermine our security rather than increase it. And I believe that we will also one day celebrate anniversaries for the abolition of nuclear weapons. I think it's inevitable, evolution of our ability to protect ourselves properly without the possibility of blowing ourselves up. I feel like these weapons are suicidal and they're genocidal and they're ecocidal. We can now blow up the world six times over with the arsenals that exist today. This is hardly increasing our security.
I suppose when you look back and use that analogy of the slave trade, I mean, to us, it's obviously abhorrent. But back then it was justified and it was considered to be taking the people from Africa and giving them a better life. They didn't actually look into the information that showed that wasn't the case. So in the same way with nuclear weapons, we're told that this makes it a safer place. How do we go about changing the mindset?
Well, there's a lot of great ideas around how to do that. And the first one really is education. Disarmament education is something that governments do agree on around the world. At the United Nations, disarmament education has been embraced as a priority. So getting into schools and out into the public sector about these weapons and about the fact that it is the legal obligation of countries that have these weapons. They have committed to getting rid of them. The first resolution of the General Assembly was about getting rid of these weapons. So there's a legal basis there for this to take place. There's also a medical one. You know, I work for medical professionals and doctors who are grappling with the epidemic of cancer that is affecting our world, and the culpable release of radiation into our environment, into the gene pool caused by nuclear testing has a large contributing factor to this. So it's about prevention. Prevention is better than cure, and we can prevent what would be a cataclysmic and terribly destructive possibility that these nuclear weapons that are poised and on hair trigger alert and targeted on our cities. Mayors are joining our campaign as well. The Mayors for Peace comprise about 1,600 mayors around the world now who recognise that cities should not be targets and that their cities are currently targets. So by joining our profession with other professions, raising voices, doing disarmament education and pushing our governments to do what they promised that they would do. In Australia, that means getting a consistent policy on nuclear weapons. Australia is known internationally for advancing the taboo against nuclear testing. I think you recall several years ago when the French were still testing in the Pacific, there was a great outcry from our citizens, but also from our government. And our government is quite responsible for the fact that a treaty exists to ban all tests. That's a great feather in our cap. Another one is that Australia produced the Canberra Commission, a great roadmap for how we can go about systematically getting rid of these weapons down to zero. That's another feather in our cap. What undermines our reputation is the fact that we still value nuclear weapons as part of our security policy. We are part of the US nuclear umbrella, along with three other countries, Japan, ourselves, and South Korea, as well as the NATO alliance, are under this nuclear umbrella. So we have a very contradictory position. On one hand, we say nuclear weapons are terrible and we should abolish them. And on the other hand, we say, but we need them for our security. And so this is an inconsistency that must change. It's time to take the bombs off the Barbie, and that's one of the messages of the ICAN campaign, that we can get out of this nuclear alliance. We don't have to get out of the US-Australia alliance, but we could denuclearise it.
I suppose there's this us and them kind of mentality that we don't want them, whoever they are, the enemies, these other nations, we don't want them to have nuclear weapons. And to keep them honest, us good guys, being the US and Australia and those other countries you mentioned, we've got to have nuclear weapons.
This is exactly the dynamic that needs to be unpicked and understood differently. This is poised as a discussion between those who advance non-proliferation as the most important issue and others who say disarmament is the most important issue. These two things are tied together. The best non-proliferation measure is disarmament. By devaluing these weapons, by saying, oh, they don't have symbolic power, they don't have security utility, other countries are dissuaded from obtaining them. But while some countries value these weapons and say they're essential for our security, of course it's attractive to others to get them. So we've gone from 5 nuclear weapon states in 1970 to 9 today, and the most recent one is North Korea. And exactly on that reason, they're saying, you're not showing us that you're serious about disarmament, so why shouldn't we get them? And this is why many countries on Earth, the vast majority of states on Earth want disarmament. 125 countries, the majority of countries at the United Nations, want the immediate commencement of a nuclear weapons convention. Now, we're starting rather ahead of where the landmines folks started. They only had a couple of countries saying, oh, a treaty sounds like a good idea. We've got 125. So there's a momentum there, both in the governmental side and in the non-governmental side. Every time you talk to an environmental organisation, a peace organisation, a women's organisation, the taboo against nuclear weapons is universal. Every time there's a public opinion poll done, the vast majority of folks don't want nuclear policies, nuclear security, or nuclear weapons. 92% of Australians want our government to be part of a nuclear weapons convention. That was a poll done in 1998, but there's no reason to believe that that would have changed significantly. So democracy really is on our side on this one. It's what the majority want.
But if the majority want it, that's one thing. But if we need to keep them for security, I mean, what can we say if we take away all the nuclear weapons and then a rogue nation decides that they have a nuclear weapon and they can use it against us? Is that still something that is possible?
That's something that's possible, and it's something that's discussed. But in a world that has safeguarded and locked up the nuclear materials adequately, in a world where nuclear weapons are not poised and aimed to fire within 2 to 3 minutes, as 5,000 nuclear weapons are, the likelihood of a mistake or an accident or indeed a rogue nation being able to obtain the facilities and the technology to make a nuclear weapon is vastly reduced. And so that uncertainty held up as a reason to not take apart what is an absolutely terrifying destructive capacity, it's really not a very good argument. But it's one that's raised, and the idea of one nuclear weapon being more as dangerous as 27,000 seems to be a bit of a furphy to me.
So if we have a large percentage of the population say we don't want nuclear weapons, and yet they're still there, what can the average person do? If governments are going to persist in keeping nuclear weapons, even though they know that the people don't want them, what can we actually do about it?
Well, it's about using our democratic opportunities and responsibilities too. Joining into the ICAN campaign is one. Going onto our website, icanw.org, and signing a petition and a pledge that you believe that we can and will have a nuclear weapon-free world. There's all kinds of creative ways that you can get involved with the campaign that's listed on our website. But it's about making a decision that you're going to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. If you care about anything, if you love somebody, if you love a place, if you especially like fresh peaches, these are all things worth protecting from destruction. And so instead of focusing on the fear, let's focus on the solutions and the things that we love and need to protect from these weapons.
Realistically, how far away is the solution?
There's a large review conference of the NPT, the Non-Proliferation Treaty, in 2010. The first meeting in that review process. They have five yearly cycles, and the first one starts in a couple of weeks' time. And many people believe that, and many governments believe, and have grounds to believe that there will be great progress within the next 5 years. Why do I say that? Well, some of the major obstacles to change will be removed by the democratic process, and so we believe that elections will deliver more progressive and more on this issue constructive and active governments, so that there's a basis for believing that the 2010 review conference will deliver change. There's a great push for it. As I said, the majority of states are ready, willing and able to negotiate a nuclear weapons convention, and more momentum will be built up around that. So we believe that within a 5-year time frame we can see the beginning of negotiations.
Well, there's a federal election coming up later this year in Australia. I guess it's our opportunity to push the major parties on and having a look at their own ideas and what their policies are.
That's right. We have an opportunity to really review what are our security issues, what will bring us human security and environmental security and economic security, what are the security challenges of our times. They are climate change, they're terrorism, they're economic poverty, their environmental degradation and water depletion. None of these things can be addressed with nuclear weapons. Each of those things are actually challenged and undermined by the prioritisation and the economic drain that the nuclear weapon really does represent. So big questions can be asked in big years like this, election years, and I think it's well worthwhile putting that on the agenda of the major parties, which is what I've been doing today in Perth, and what the International Campaign to Abolish Nuclear Weapons is all about.
Felicity, it's been great to hear just a little bit about what's going on and to know that there is positive movement being made to get rid of these nuclear weapons. So we must thank you for your time and all the best for the future.
Thanks a lot. Our beautiful world is worth protecting from these weapons, and thanks for having me today.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, via the website sunshinefm.ws. All material is subject to copyright.